Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be in his house today. What a wonderful Sunday. Well, this church was founded in 1965. Dedicated to the Lord. Dedicated for the Lord. A place and a people for his glory. A place and a people for his honor. For his praise. That there be a habitation for the Lord. That there be a tabernacle like unto David's. That there be ministry to the Lord and ministry of the Lord. That there be a witness in the earth. And that the pure gospel message of Jesus Christ would be heard in the earth. That there would be a going. That there would be a gathering. That there be harvest. John 4:35, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Eyes lifted many years ago now, the eyes of a man, the eyes of a couple, the eyes of a family, the eyes of a group of believers who heard the words of Jesus. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look. Lift up your eyes and look. Jesus said, the fields are already white. He said, the fields are already white for harvest. Do we see as he sees? Do you see as he sees? Thank God that 60 years ago, I saw as Jesus sees. White fields ready for harvest. 60 years. You know, longevity is a miracle of God. It's because of his faithfulness. It's because of his heart. Because of his guidance and his protection. It's because of his provision. It's because of his word and because it was at his word. It's because of his spirit, his anointing, his power. It's because he built. It's because he kept. And it's because his people labored. This labor of love, people with lifted eyes, a praying people, a praising people, a zealous people, sacrificial people, loyal people, faithful people, and a people with all other necessary qualities. You know, praise God. For here we are in this place today, 6 decades later. What a wonder. What a miracle. Eyes lifted many years ago now. I saw as Jesus saw and as Jesus sees, and those eyes remained lifted and they kept looking. The fields and a field white, ready for harvest. Thank God that the lifted eyes, the lifted looking eyes never closed. And never fell. And thank God for every set of eyes that were and have been and will be lifted in like manner to see what Jesus sees. He would say to us today on the other side of 60 years, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. If your eyes aren't lifted, lift up your eyes and look. If your eyes are lifted, look. And if your eyes are lifted and looking, keep looking and never let them fall. People of God, the fields and this field and all fields of life are already white. They're already ready for harvest. John 4, We pick it up at verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not have this saying? There are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Do you not say? You have this saying. The Living Bible reads, do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields of human souls are ripening all around us and are ready now for reaping. You know, Jesus was talking about a specific type of harvest. He was talking about a specific crop. And speaking in natural terms, harvest may not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now. But we are not focused on natural terms. What is the harvest? The crop that Jesus has his lifted, looking eyes upon. Human souls. Church, people of God, the fields are already white. Now, already white for harvest. The word harvest, used here, harvest, the act of reaping, it speaks of the gathering of men, of people, into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look. Not 4 months from now. Not a 4 month from now spirit. Not a 4 month from now outlook. The 4 months from now viewpoint is the viewpoint of those whose eyes are not looking and are not lifted. And you know, it might just be that it's the manner of those that don't want to take the labor. Because reaping, harvesting takes labor. The 4 months from now spirit may or may not be literal. I'm looking, Lord. I'm looking, Jesus. I see a lot of unripe individuals. I'm looking, Lord. I'm looking, Jesus. This one's not ripe. And that one's not ripe. This sheaf, that sheaf. Jesus didn't say, zoom in. Jesus said, behold. Jesus didn't say, inspect each sheaf. Jesus said, behold the field. What am I getting at? Listen, when you behold a field, you see it's ready. And the field is ready, people of God. The farmer lifts his eyes and looks, beholding the field. And the field is white. The field is already white. The field is all ready. You see, it's true that in that white field, that ready field, the ready now field, there are individual sheaves that are not quite ripe or not at all ripe. Perhaps some will never ripen, but this does not deter the farmer because the field is ready. The field is already white for harvest. And spiritually speaking, a miracle can take place. A miracle can take place as the farmer and his farmhands take to the field and begin reaping, begin harvesting. The reaping of the ripe begins ripening the unripened. a supernatural work in the ready field takes place, and the unready are affected and even made ready. When the field is white, it's harvest time. This really is such a beautiful portion of Scripture, and look how Jesus begins. I love his words. Jesus said to them, "My food." You want to be his disciple? "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Disciples, get on board. The Living Bible, Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." The message, the food that keeps me going, is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started. And I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, his statement, his declaration, Acts 20:24, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." That's a statement. What has become our food? The very source of our nourishment. You know, we all have a role to play in this, in here and out there. And may God use us and our lives and our living and our roles in the community, our occupations and our businesses, our skills and giftings, our influence in the field, in the fields, that his will be done and the work assigned us completed. What is the will of the one who sent Jesus? What is the will of the one who sends us? The work of the one who sent Jesus, the work of the one who sends us. And the answer is harvest. Harvesting. The text, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together," this unity. "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Well, I thought this was all about reaping. You know, harvesting requires both sowing and reaping. Sowers and reapers. And in our lifetimes, we know both roles. Lord, let us know both roles. Church, there is no doubt that there is more sowing ahead of us. But can we not see the fields that are white for harvest? Fields for which others have labored? Fields of their labors? Even 60 years of labor? The sowing, the prayers, the tears, the praise, the preaching, the proclaiming, the witnessing, the giving, the serving, the building, and so on. And in this field, on this field, this plot of ground, this particular church location, 14 years of labor. And thank God for the fields that he's opened to us internationally. The Wycliffe Bible, "Whether ye say not, that yet 4 months be, and ripe corn cometh, lo, I say to you, lift up your eyes, and see ye the fields, for now they be white to reap. A call this day to lift up eyes." The NLT, "I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest." This call to awaken, to look around. The NLV, "I say to you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are white now and waiting for the grain to be gathered in." This call, the message, I love how it reads. I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. Eyes. on the fields right in front of us. And eyes for the field and the fields right in front of us. The Darby translation, lift up your eyes and behold the fields, for they are already white to harvest. You know, it's the eyes lifted at the command of Jesus that can see it. That can see it when others see an unripened field or a barren field or a hopeless field or an impossible field or a field with too many unripened sheaves. Lift up your eyes today at the command of Jesus. I say to you, lift up your eyes. You know, the Lord has been so faithful. And sons and daughters over the years of this ministry have reaped that for which they have not labored. Others have labored, worked hard, and they have entered into their labors. And church, the time will come when sons and daughters will reap what is being sowed now. They will enter into our labors. Matthew 9, we pick it up at verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. And this is what every laborer needs. This moving. The Wycliffe Bible, then he said to his disciples, "Soothly, there is much ripe corn, but few workmen. Therefore pray ye the Lord of the ripe corn that he send workmen into his ripe corn." As with the former times, there is a great need today that we be moved with compassion. It says that when Jesus saw the multitudes, when Jesus saw the human souls, he was moved. Jesus' eyes lifted, his eyes looking and beholding. The Message paraphrase, when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were. Like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest. He said to his disciples, "How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands." Jesus, his eyes lifted, his eyes looking. Jesus is moved with compassion at the sight. And so he says to his disciples, "Pray. Pray. Yes, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, but don't just pray worker, work worker." We may be one of the few workers. We must pray. We desperately need to pray. Thank God for a praying church. It's rare today. But we cannot let off working. We cannot allow ourselves to be removed from the company of the few. Pray and work. Pray and reap. Pray and sow when the time to sow is at hand. Prayer. This labor. Not just casual. Weeping in prayer. This press. This bearing of seed. This sowing. Doubtless shall come again rejoicing, bringing sheaves. Reap this labor, and when it's time to sow, it's labor. And we know that we labor in other ways. And it's still true today that the pure in heart, the great lovers of God, the lovers of Jesus, call it nothing less than a labor of love. We know that we need to pray for this work. We know that we need prayer for this work. We need more laborers, there is no doubt. Eyes lifted like the eyes of Jesus. Eyes looking like the eyes of Jesus. And you know, if we could speak it out prophetically today, this moving, this being moved with compassion, even as we walk daily, walk through the city, walk through stores, walk through the park. Broken hearts, just like Jesus. His people are so confused, aimless. Sheep, and they need a shepherd. Concerning harvest, how big is the harvest? Well, there's a vast number of human souls. But we as workers are responsible for the harvest God gives us, that God opens to us, the field and the fields and the sections of the great field. And as long as we are diligent, and as long as we are faithful, all that is ripe and all that will be ripened will be reaped. There is a great reaping taking place in the fields of the earth today. Taking place in this field of the earth today. And when there is a reaping, there is a gathering and a bringing into. Human souls brought into the gathering place. The gathering place dedicated to the Lord, dedicated for the Lord. The place and the people for His glory, for His honor, for His praise, the habitation fashioned for the Lord's presence, a tabernacle like unto David's, this witness in the earth, a place of unity, people united in and under God, brothers and sisters. Jesus saw a scattering, and the remedy is a gathering. And as long as time remains before the great day of the coming of the Lord, there is opportunity and there is harvest. Let's pick up this scripture. The book of John chapter 2, beginning of verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When He had made a whip of cords, He drove them all out of the temple. What a church service that was. With the sheep and all the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And He said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make My Father's house a house of merchandise. Then His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for Your house has eaten Me up. This may seem like a peculiar scripture to introduce here, and yet are we not called to be a peculiar people? The words we focus on are these. Zeal for Your house has eaten Me up. The message reads, zeal for Your house consumes Me. I guess if we're going to be like Jesus, the Voice Bible, jealous devotion for God's house consumes me. And here is what I hear the Spirit saying. Zeal still eats men up. Positively and negatively. The New Century Version, my strong love for Your temple completely controls me. The Amplified, His disciples remembered that it is written in the Scriptures, zeal, love, concern for Your house and its honor will consume me. It would be good for disciples to remember this and this become our reality. A people of zeal, a people zealous, a people eaten up by zeal for God's house, even eaten up by the zeal of his house, of his people, the fervor, the passion, the burning, the heat, strong love for the house of the Lord, strong concern for the house of the Lord to make his house glorious in the earth. You know, the zeal for many things can eat us up. Eat us up, that is, consume us. Eat up our time. Consume it. Eat up our hearts. Eat up our minds. Eat up our souls. Eat up our spirits. Eat up our strength. Consume it. Many things. Zeal still eats men up. Zeal still eats women up. Zeal for things. Zeal for people and so on. The positive and the negative. Listen, one thing is certain. I can promise you this. We can only benefit. We can only benefit from being eaten up by zeal for his house. And our loved ones and our families and our children will benefit. And of course, the house of the Lord will benefit. And those that will be gathered, brought in, will benefit. A zeal for his house is key to harvesting. It's key to harvesting properly. That word zeal. Excitement of mind. Ardor, fervor of spirit. Ardor in embracing, pursuing, defending anything. Zeal in behalf of, for a person or thing. We know these scriptures. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, those eaten up like Jesus, their heart is in the house. Their heart is with the house. Their heart is for the house. The house is their treasure. The house is their treasure. But it's the Lord above all that is their treasure. And all other things then fall into proper order. This treasure that has eaten us up, we can't keep it a secret. And so we're praying, and we are reaping. We're going after a gathering, believing for a gathering, because we know the power of God in his house. The transforming power of the very presence of God. Zeal still eats men up. And women. And when it does, zeal for his house, you have deep concern for the house of the Lord. A righteous, protective spirit, a holy honor for the house. We're talking about covenant nature, not convenient nature, or callous nature, or self-centered nature. Covenant nature. When zeal eats you up, there's passion. And there's passion that others be gathered into the harvester's place. He is the Lord of the harvest, his fields. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen to Psalm 69, verses 7 to 12. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up. Wow. Dear God. And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I'm the song of the drunkards. Wow. The words of the psalmist, and this is real. Listen, sometimes this does take place. But there is still benefit for self and others if we continue to allow ourselves to be eaten up by zeal for his house. There is still benefit for self and others, even in this alien state, because there is the benefit of a witness. We don't labor in vain. We labor in the vain. In the vain. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I want to share with you the words of Charles Spurgeon. We're wrapping up here. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The word vain is the keynote here. Men desiring to build know that they must labor, and accordingly they put forth all their skill and strength. But let them remember that if Jehovah is not with them, their designs will prove failures. So it was with the Babel builders. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. And the Lord returned their words into their own bosoms, saying, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language. In vain they toiled, for the Lord's face was against them. When Solomon resolved to build a house for the Lord, matters were very different. For all things united under God to aid him in his great undertaking. Even the heathen were at his beck and call, that he might erect a temple for the Lord his God. In the same manner, God blessed him in the erection of his own palace. For this verse evidently refers to all sorts of house building. Without God, we are nothing. Great houses have been erected by ambitious men, but like the baseless fabric of a vision, they have passed away, and scarce a stone remains to tell where once they stood. The wealthy builder of a non-such palace, could he revisit the glimpses of the moon, would be perplexed to find a relic of his former pride. He labored in vain, for the place of his travail knows not a trace of his handiwork. The like may be said of the builders of castles and abbeys. When the mode of life indicated by these piles ceased to be endurable by the Lord, the massive walls of ancient architects crumbled into ruins, and their toil melted like the froth of vanity. Not only do we now spend our strength for naught without Jehovah, but all who have ever labored apart from him come under the same sentence. Trowel and hammer, saw and plane are instruments of vanity unless the Lord be the master builder. We labor in vain, V-E-I-N. Not in vain. And we know that we are nothing. We are nothing. And this would all be in vain without Jehovah. Lord, build the house. Lord, keep the city. We need you, our great watcher. And these words, we are not safe because of watchmen. If Jehovah refuses to watch over us, even if the guards are wakeful and do their duty, still the place may be surprised if God be not there. I, the Lord, do keep is better than an army of sleepless guards. Note that the psalmist does not bid the builders cease from laboring, nor suggest that watchmen should neglect their duty, nor that men should show their trust in God by doing nothing. Nay, he supposes that they will do all they can do, and then he forbids their fixing their trust in what they have done, and assures them that all creature effort will be in vain unless the Creator puts forth his power to render second causes effectual. Holy Scripture endorses the order of Cromwell. Trust in God and keep your powder dry. Put your trust in God, my boys, and keep your powder dry. Only here the sense is varied, and we are told that the dried powder will not win the victory unless we trust in God. Happy is the man who hits the golden mean by so working as to believe in God, and so believing in God as to work without fear. Surely the scripture speaks here. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The margin, victory is of the Lord. Worship ministry, please come. Here we are, day of victory. This day of victory, 60 years. You know, it's a miracle. There are some here this morning, you've been here almost all 60. Perhaps there's a few that have been here all 60. Man, thank you. Thank you. You deserve to be honored. You deserve to be honored. That's called covenant nature. That's called pillar people. Faithfulness. 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 You know, find a church and make it your church. Just like through the thick and thin, you know what I'm saying? The good times and the bad times, just like marriage. You know, don't become a part of the epidemic. We're just divorcing churches nowadays. We're just... I don't like this bride anymore. I mean, you can't build on people like that. You can't really build. I'm thankful for the people that have come in for a season. Thank you, Lord. They played their role, but we need a generation to rise up, pillar people. A generation to rise up. And I'm praying for the next generation to rise up. And some, you know, it's not going to happen, but there will be those. They'll be exactly like Jesus. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. It consumes me. A protective spirit, a love to make his house beautiful and glorious and great and fantastic, that when people walk in, they're blown away. Blown away by the presence of God, because that's the most important thing. If God's not in the house, if Jehovah's not here, this is all for nothing. Let's burn the place down if Jehovah's not here. But a place so powerful. You know, I'm praying that God would release signs and wonders. We need it. Signs and wonders following the preaching of the gospel. This is how it's meant to be. People that come back to what's right, a people that hold the line. We need people to hold the line. Man, can you imagine if people walked in and they're just like, look at the grounds of the place. They walk in and they're just blown away. Like, look at God's house. It's unbelievable. We're talking even about the physical things of the house of the Lord. You say, well, God doesn't care about the physical things of his house. I mean, please read. Please read. Please educate yourself, because he does. He cares deeply. He cares deeply. And you know, I mean, if you're in love with God and zeal's eating you up for his house, when you hear someone like, man, that place is unbelievable, you're like, absolutely it is. That's my church. That's God's house. It's my Father's house. That's my Father's. I care about my Father. I guess that's why Jesus cared so much. It's his Father's house. We're coming to the end this morning. I know we're a few minutes over. I do apologize. The Spirit of the Lord would bring it down to the individual today. And here is what I hear the Spirit saying as we move forward. Jesus still needs a man to carry his cross. Jesus still needs a man to carry his cross. Jesus needed a man to carry his cross. Remember Simon, Cyrenian? Listen, Jesus needs men and women to carry his cross and to carry their crosses and follow. Luke 14, 27, listen to these words. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Not can maybe be, possibly be, Might just be. Cannot be. So many cross carriers in this place today. Thank you for carrying his cross. Thank you for bearing yours and following Jesus. Cross carriers are sowers and reapers, and they know, just like Jesus, they know they can't do it on their own. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, Jesus couldn't carry his cross all the way, and neither can we. Not in our own strength, not in our own power. We need an enabling. We need an anointing. We need the power of God. We need help. We need him. Not in our own strength. We need him. Jesus still needs. He still needs people to carry his cross. Is there a man named Simon here today? Perhaps literally. A woman named Simone here today. Might you be persuaded, rightly compelled this day to carry his cross and to bear your cross following Jesus. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. Let's pray. Lord God, help us. Help us, God. Lord God, help your people. Lord God, help your house. Lord, build your house. Lord, keep your house. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we're asking. We're asking for days, Lord. We're asking for more days. We're asking for more weeks, more months, more years, decades, Lord, of meaningful and powerful ministry. God, that many will be gathered, that many will be impacted by the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the preaching, the message of salvation, that many would be gathered into the house, Lord, that they would be discipled and trained, and they would grow up in the faith, and they would be mature, Lord, those that can feed on meat. God, we're praying for this time in history, and Lord, we know that we need to toe the line. We need to do what we need to do according to your plan, according to your heart, God, because there's a generation that will enter into our labors. And so, Lord, I pray that we would recognize the times we're in, the moment, and the moments that we're in. And God, we would give ourselves to fully following you. Lord, we'd even come back today if we need to come back today. We'd cry out in our own hearts and our own spirits that zeal would eat us up. And Lord, that we would become a covenant people with the house of the Lord, but a covenant people first and foremost with you, God, that we would not fall away. But Lord, that we would endure to the end. We would persevere. Lord, we give you all the glory. This is all because of you. This is all because of you. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. We honor you today. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your covenant attitude and demeanor towards us, Lord. Thank you.